You're listening to The Incomparable's Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 364, Revenge of the Kobolds, part 1 of 4, posted September 2022. We're kobolds, not geniuses.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, your Dungeon Master, he, him, and today we are starting an adventure. An adventure that will be very different than previous adventures. An adventure that will be, it's gonna flip a lot of things on its head. We are playing Revenge of the Kobolds, a adventure written by David Floor, also the writer of A Night in Savoth Manor, which you may know as our reoccurring Shocktober adventure until we ran that into the ground. And Revenge of the Kobolds is a little bit different because basically I am going to control a party of intrepid stalwart heroes, just the people that you believe in and that you want to see succeed in life. Clearly, the heroes of our story. I got five of them ready to go. They are each of them uniquely, individually developed people that you are going to root for and care about. And I've collected some people to play the disgusting, filthy monsters that live in the dungeon that these heroes are going to explore.
Typecasting.
Yep. That's why I was specially invited. Okay, I get it.
The premise of this adventure, I don't know if I'm really actually, I introduced yourself as Dungeon Master. I guess I'm more like your hero wrangler. And it's like we've got a collective set of Dungeon Masters, a collective, a tribe, a clan of kobolds.
Dungeon's Master, I believe, is the term.
Yes. our adventurers, who keep interrupting me, are kobolds. Allow me to introduce them, and they will introduce their kobolds.
We're evil, Tony. Of course we interrupt.
And we'll talk about what they're going to do. First up, he's the most evil, but the most special. It's Steve Lutz.
Yes. I'll accept that. Yes, I am a kobold, as you previously mentioned. In this case, I am a dread warlock who goes by the name of Yubnub.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Yubnub. Next up, it's Annette Weirster. Welcome, Annette.
Hello. I am playing Snek, who is a kobold fighter, and my specialty is fighting, not making plans so much. Mm.
I've played a fighter in D&D before. I'm familiar with their strengths and limitations.
You know, as the man says, fighting's what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. So,
Also joining us, it's Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hello. My pronouns are she, her. I am playing Zess Nyx, the cleric, and their pronouns are they, them.
Can I ask you a question about Zess Nyx's icon that you provided me? Mm-hmm. I was a little confused. Is Zess Nyx wearing a hat or a skull? Or is that Zess Nyx's
head? Those are the horns, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
How dare you judge their head structure?
Well, there was like a color change there, and I was like, is Zess Nyx wearing a skull? Whose skull is it? But no, that's just Zess Nyx's head.
Yeah.
Okay, Zess Nyx just has a very skull-like skull.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we all kind of have skull-like skulls.
My skull also very skull-like. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I guess that was rude of me. Also joining us, it is Kathy Campbell. Kathy, it wouldn't be what this is going to be without you. Thank you for being here.
Whatever that is.
Well, I think I'm happy to be here. We'll see. My pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Da Dee, whose pronouns are also she, her. Hey, Tony, what do you do with a green dragon?
What do you do with a green dragon, Kathy?
You wait until it ripens, of course.
Oh, what if it's like is that a banana joke or an avocado joke?
That's a good question. Let's find out later.
Okay, together. And last, but certainly not least, he's also running our stream and helping us out with the bootleg. It is everyone's favorite Scotsman, James Thompson.
How many choices do you have? I am, my pronouns are he, him, and I am playing Jesto Omsman, who is the mechanic of this team, a kobold artificer, who is never without his trusty robot squirrel companion, Pesto. And Pesto will be running the traps for this evening.
Mm-hmm. Is gesto, whatever you said, some kind of anagram for something?
Yes, it is.
Okay. But you're not going to tell us what it is? We have to figure that out on our own?
Regular listeners will have worked out that it is an anagram of Samson Jotham, which is also an anagram of James Thompson.
Okay, just checking. It's just when I see a J name and I'm like, I know what's, there's a very similar set of consonants in this name. I'm not going to do the math. I'm just going to angrily question you about it.
I like the fact that I got ohms in there from an electrical sense. So that's just my.
All right. Well, those are our kobolds. I think I should take this moment to tell you a little bit about our heroes of this adventure.
You know Squarespace.
sorry, for some reason that really threw me off. So let me introduce our heroes. And though I will be controlling our heroes, I think it might be fun if some of you, that's you the players, not you the listeners. You can't do what I'm about to ask you to do, listeners. Provided maybe some voices or sound effects.
Pew, pew!
For these heroes, these, you know, adventurers, these just, you know, the champions of our story. But let me introduce them one by one.
Brace for fart noises.
First up, the leader of the group. This is Dogran, a dragonborn fighter. He is just an incredibly charismatic hero, a champion of the people, just a fighter who gets things done. He knows no fear. And I just, you know, I basically imagine that he's Captain Kirk if Captain Kirk had like a lizard head, which he may have had in one adventure. I haven't seen all of them. But just the real charismatic leader. And I think that I'm going to recruit Steve Lutz to occasionally provide dialogue and sound effects for Dogran as needed.
Okay. Is that because I'm incredibly charismatic and I get things done, or because I'm a lizard man?
We can't answer that on a public facing page.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to dox you, Steve. Dogran is joined by Zedric, a second level Eladrin wizard. He's the wizard of the group. I've decided that he is the self-styled, what did I call him? Zedric the Mystic. Zedric has a pet owl named Quora, who I've put on the map because map can't get cluttered enough. Annette, would you be willing to be a wizard voice and owl sound effects as needed?
Oh, is it because I'm so good at sheep? Yes, I will.
That is what you have the most endorsements. It's the most endorsements for on LinkedIn. So
I haven't heard the episode that you're referring to, so I'm just going to make my own assumptions about what you mean by that.
Probably safe.
Yep. Dink is the group's thief or a rogue. Dink is a halfling rogue, because why would you have any other kind of rogue? Aline, I think I may need you to be Dink as needed. Rina, elven ranger. Kathy, are you up for being an elven ranger as needed?
I will do my best.
All right. Rina is a elven ranger. She has a beast companion, a wolf named Seraphin.
A wolf? What's a wolf?
Sarah. A wolf.
Oh, okay.
A wolf.
Okay.
Last but certainly not least, Ogden, the dwarven cleric. James, I may ask you to provide some Ogden dialogue for us.
Because I'm pious.
Now, they're already on the map, but I've decided that this is a brave adventuring party. They have no qualms about splitting the party. Hmm. So Dogran, Ogden, and Rina are in one corner, and Dink and Zedric are in the other corner. There are two entrances to the kobold cave system that these heroes will be exploring.
Ah, yes. Split off the rogue and the wizard from the people who could actually fight.
They are clearly geniuses.
Mm-hmm. They have some hired help, you know, people that will, at the very least, help them carry home the loot.
The bodies.
They have four henchmen that I have named Barnabas, Marion, Justice, and Hubert, who may or may not die before you encounter them, based on the quality of your traps. that you you deploy. So that is the opposing team of our Revenge of the Kobolds scenario here.
Why do we not get to have henchmen when we go into these dungeons?
Because we're more competent.
You could spend your money on that. Yeah. I mean, mainly so that you'd make me voice them, probably. I've given you guest stars all the time. Also, you have a robot rat or mouse or panda or squirrel in like every appearance you're in.
Fine.
So the premise is that you are the basically kind of the champions of the tribe and have been out on a scouting, hunting, supplies run, and will have returned to the caves to unfortunately find that these heroes have murdered all of your friends and family, and it is time for you to take revenge, as you do.
Definition of hero.
Yes. You know. So I will tell you, as the diligent champions of the tribe, you do have a variety of supplies and accoutrements that go above and beyond your normal kobold outfittings. So this is the time where we need to do some figuring out. I think you have. I've given you all the Revenge of the Kobolds player's guide. So you have some money that you can spend on supplies, and particularly... kobolds are known for their uses of, they have these little clay pots with various chemical substances in them. So I think that perhaps some of you have either already made decisions or would want to make decisions now about arming yourselves with various specifically kobold crafted weapons that could help you out. So for our listeners, kobolds are known for the use of stink pots, which coat the... person that the pockets start out with noxious liquid, glue pot, sticky, traps you in place, fire pot, that's bad, fire, acid pot, it really does what it says on the label, there is a flash pot, which is like a flashbang, and a smoke pot, which is a
crime,
a smoke bomb.
There's some question as to what the label that says acid pot is supposed to do.
Steve, we know you're confused. It's okay. We're here to help.
It coats somebody in corrosive acid, causing them to take acid damage.
Okay. So it's not a don't eat the brown acid pot situation here.
The adventurers also, I believe you designated, I was going to say James, but I should say Jesto as your trap master. So kobolds are known for crafting and maintaining and operating traps. So though you have gone off on a scouting expedition, you have left the cave system provisioned with traps that will hopefully deter intruders, or at least mortally wound the henchmen they hire. So as a group, you have resource points to deploy on traps. You can use these to purchase traps from the list of traps I provided you with. You could also potentially purchase minions if you want, which are either kobolds that follow you around, or giant rats, or giant fire beetles. The traps that you have to pick through include things like concealed pit, giant boulder, classic horizontal blades, poison dart trap. You can also leave things like piles of debris, or as James would say, debris, and explosive barrels around your your cave system. So this is the fun part of the adventure, where you have a meeting to talk about how you equip your dungeon. That's right, on a podcast, you do the stuff that I would normally do for an adventure as homework before the podcast.
Yes, it's our morning tag up.
We decided this would be more fun. Maybe not for you.
Yeah. Commence planning here, and I'll remind adventurers, you're in roll 20, sorry, not adventurers, filthy kobolds, you can use the draw square and text to label where you want your traps and whatnot, but I want you to be thinking about where are you going to put some traps.
Oh, we know all about drawing on maps.
We also know planning. We're very good at plans.
I did select a team for this adventure who are expert planners. Each of you, I got nothing else to say about planning.
Because you didn't plan anything to say, did you?
Mm-mm.
I thought not.
Not so much.
All right. So we have 40 resource points, right?
Yeah.
That we can do. Yep.
And 500 right. gold pieces. Or did we, Aline, did you spend your 50?
Or did you swap? I swapped.
Well, I spent my 50. So
is that what you spent all your half your money on a Robot squirrel? Is that what you did, James?
No, the robot squirrel was free. No, I spent it on a chainmail shirt made of pure Beskar.
Cross the streams. So yeah, you've got 40 points, which you could spend on these traps. You could spend on minions. You could spend on other things.
Could we use the money to buy off the henchmen?
No.
Ooh.
Okay, just checking.
That seems like a poor use of the funds.
I just bought stink pots.
I will tell you, I wouldn't invest heavily in these henchmen. Each of them is wearing a fresh crimson cloak. And they did not come with names in the adventures provided. These are not people to get attached to.
Oh, is that like a threat, Tony? Because
I'm just saying,
our history of getting attached to unnamed characters.
We'll give them names.
I did not name the tokens, but Hubert is my favorite. Surely he will not die minutes into this dungeon.
Hubert dies first. Make a note.
Yeah.
So I would think we should organize our traps and obstacles, and then anything we have left over we can use on a couple of minions and or animal companions. Yeah. And then if we have anything left over after that, then we get it in the form of a gift certificate or a money order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So old reference lost on younger viewers. Thank you very much.
We're all old.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I would also think, since we have a trap master that can reset our traps, that we probably favor things that can be reset and reused. There are a couple there that, like, once they blow up, you can't unblow them.
Yep.
I do kind of like the giant boulder, but...
I feel like it would be good to have one of those.
Because it would be fun.
Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing about that, too, is that once it's fallen, I think medium-sized creatures have trouble getting around it. Oh, it's blocking terrain. But we are small, so we can move around it as though it's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of putting the boulder, like, right here.
Blocking the entrance so they don't get in. I like the idea. Yeah.
I think it's better if we block off some of these passages in the central area, because otherwise they can chase us more easily. Because I have a feeling these guys are going to be quite a bit more powerful than us in general, so we're going to have to do a little bit of... go in and attack one guy and then run away for a little while and then come back a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of these doorways in the middle here that are, you know, there's multiple ways to enter into this central chamber. I think it would be a good idea to kind of potentially block one of those with boulders.
Yeah.
So we have more ways that we can escape.
This sounds smart.
Do we want to block the middle one? I was going to say.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That central door. Can we put it in a doorway, though? It has to be in a hallway.
It's hidden in the roof.
Actually, right here is the perfect place, because then... Well, I don't know how big it is. It's 5x5, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not going to block... If those are 5x5 squares, we're going to need two boulders, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's true. If we want to block a whole hallway, definitely.
Why don't we just buy all boulders?
Just block all of the. We got one here, and one here.
Our sort of fail-safe plan.
I think the horizontal blades don't need to be reactivated. They just don't. They just keep going.
Blading.
Yeah, and the thing with the boulder is if they detect it and disarm it, if we spend all the resources on two, hoping to block a corridor.
Yeah.
We can, the trap master can trigger traps. So, you know, if they're getting near something like a giant boulder, we can possibly trigger it before they can do anything. But yeah, I like the blades.
Oh yeah, you're right. Because the other traps, the poison dart trap says it must be manually reset, but that one does not. So
good idea.
Yeah.
All blades.
I think we can assume that if these guys are dumb enough to run through the same area twice, they can get hit by that twice without us having to do anything.
Yeah, but they can also, if we reset the poison darts, then we could just also keep hitting them.
Right.
The blades have an effect within 10 feet, I think. Yeah.
So if putting it on a wall, could we put it by a door and just like...
Well, that's what I say. It's the width of a door.
Yeah.
So if we put some of those blades, we could put it on that central doorway that we were talking about. And then anyone who goes through the door gets cut down to size.
Now, the other thing we should be aware of is that Some of these will trigger when any creature passes within 50 feet, like the poison trap, poison darts, but the horizontal blades and some of the others require that a medium-sized creature enter the area, and since we're small, we won't trigger those, so we don't have to worry about getting shot by our own traps.
How big are their henchmen? Do they have tiny henchmen?
Their henchmen are all are human or human equivalent, so they're all medium.
Wow. Okay.
Do they have any small?
Let me just check. Is Dink? Dink might be small.
It would actually. He's quite large for
no. Dink is small.
It's an ironic name.
Everyone else is medium. The owl is tiny. I don't think the owl activates any traps.
But we can drop a boulder on it, and that would be funny.
Aww.
We feel very differently about owl murder here in North America, James.
Yeah.
The owl's name is Hedwig.
I like, personally, I don't have a problem with owls.
Professionally?
Professionally, wow.
Owls are very calculator hostile. It's a little known fact.
You don't see any owl dice in his app.
Yeah, this is true.
Why did we build such a wide lair when we're so small? I thought, like, one of the things that when you were a kobold was you made small tunnels so that...
Well, you know, you've got this cave system. I assume it's a natural cave system, or perhaps dug by something larger that you have repurposed.
I see.
You do have a series, you know, this is the part of the podcast that doesn't work great as a podcast, but our players are looking at a map I have given them with a series of interconnected passageways and tunnels and whatnot. I will point out that all of your... caverns in your den are connected by tiny little tunnels that only you can access and use.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that's right. So maybe we don't need to worry so much about blocking off central passageways.
For ourselves,
as long as we
yeah.
can all duck into somewhere and reappear instantly on the opposite side of the map.
And I think all the main chambers
have everything a little hatch. But this chamber has a hatch in it.
And it takes 10 feet of movement to get in, but once we're there, you appear instantly at one of the other exits.
Yeah, but you can't loiter in them, which is...
You can't loiter in a tunnel.
You have to, like, pop out.
Right, but that's fine, because if we're just trying to get the heck away from an adventurer, then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we need to do.
And we get to choose where we pop out?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the idea of making it random, though.
Roll a dice.
Did I not mention kobold tunnels are traditionally a slip and slide? And
Well, look at your character's intelligence. You might end up anywhere if it's really low. He keeps forgetting the way that the tunnels go. So
it should be that one of the exit tunnels is also the same as the tunnel you just went in. So if you roll a one, you end back up.
Operate back out.
Maybe that's next time.
Yeah, I've got 30 feet of movement, so I could do a whole, like, Scooby-Doo sequence in just one turn.
So I'm looking at the map, and we've got the adventurers coming in at the bottom left and bottom right.
You have two entrances you want to protect.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is that central bit, is that the most obvious route that they're going to take? Like, as people come in, which way are they going to go?
We could also funnel them into that by making it harder to go out, so they always have to come in and out of that one entrance.
It's true. We could drop a couple of boulders here and force them through there.
Yeah.
Boulders are blocking for them.
They're blocking, but they're 8 points each, and we've got 40.
Right. They're expensive, but that's probably the most effective way to funnel them.
You might think of it that each of you basically gets to choose a trap, right? And some of you will have some change that you could spend on other things. But, right, because you have, what, 8 points each, and a boulder is 8 points.
Eight, yeah.
Well, and we can still get, a couple, or at least three or four poison dart and blades to put other places. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just pointing out that the boulder is the most expensive of your traps.
So it's clearly the best.
So let me suggest then that we put some blade trap, like, right here.
Okay.
So that any travel through the central section, they're going to have to deal with those blades.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If they come in through this door on the southwest and they walk through that area, they'll get hit. If they're not careful when they're coming through the other two doors, they might also get hit. And those automatically reset, so.
Yeah, and there's that nice point right there that you come around the corner and you can have, like, whoosh, it'd be harder to see right where you put. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we agreed on that one?
Yeah, yep. Seconded on the blades.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So this will be classic Atari Adventure blades.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
P
Pew, pew.
I like it.
All right. That is one trap that you have committed to.
6 points.
Next.
Well, should we put the two boulders where we were thinking at those two separate
It's up points? To you guys if you want to do that.
I think the boulders might be a bit expensive.
For what it
They're
does.
So fun, though.
I know.
They are. I love the boulders. But the thing is, we need two to block a tunnel. If it were just, if we could block a tunnel with one, I would be all for it. But that's a lot of resources for...
That's true.
Let's see how much money we've got left after we put a few more things in.
Okay, what if we put some poison darts at those points instead?
The darts are the ones that don't...
They need to be reset, but they can be used indefinitely.
That's what the Trap Master can...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the barrels can't be reused, because once they've exploded, there's not much you can do.
I mean, I like the explosive barrels just from a Doom kind of perspective.
Yeah, we should try a little of everything.
Yeah.
I encourage variety is the trap of life.
A buffet here of mm-hmm. things. And you want to try a little bit, but you don't want to fill up on any one thing.
So are we talking about putting those near one of the entrances? Am I following that?
The only problem with the entrances is they'll never pass them again is the problem.
Yeah, that's
Those middle ones on the side.
When the creature passes within 50 feet of the trap activates and makes an attack as a free action. So basically anywhere, we could put it like facing the entry tunnels, but in towards the middle.
Like over in there.
We could basically cover those two first entrance rooms.
Now, Tony, maybe you can shed some light on this, but this player's guide refers to kind of a couple of phases, initial discovery, which I'm guessing means the heroes wander through the caves before we return to the caves.
Correct.
So some of these traps will be activated before we even get in here.
I believe many of them, probably, right? So the heroes are going to wander in. I've kind of set paths for them where they're going to... I have basically preset this is what they're going to do. And they're going to move from chamber to chamber doing stuff.
Right.
And I suspect they will set off a lot of your traps.
And some of these traps gain advantage if they don't know where the trap is. So probably the first time in initial discovery, they're going to get nailed by something more likely than they are when we're actually in the lair.
Yeah, it follows similar mechanics to what you experience as player characters, where they're going to be rolling to detect traps, and then the rogue at the very least will then attempt to disarm traps, and they may or may not be able to detect all your traps. They may or may not be able to disarm all your traps. Some of your traps may be detected and disarmed. So
could we put the darts there and then have a boulder above the darts? So that when they go in to try and disarm them, we drop a boulder on them.
They can still, they have to roll to detect each thing, but they can detect your, if they detect traps, they detect all your traps. You cannot make an undisarmable trap. That would be a huge safety hazard for your own. Remember, this is your house.
So if we had two traps in the same area, you're saying a single roll would detect both of them?
No, I would roll twice. But you can't combine traps into some impossible to disarm traps.
Right? Six traps in the same spot.
Yeah.
You drop
a pit above a pit above a pit.
What if you put a pit inside a pit?
Whoa. Wow, now you're putting a hat on a hat.
That is a classic kobold fashion statement. I have drawn a rectangle for your dart trap. I don't know if that is correct, but I'm trying to...
I think that's a reasonable...
I feel like that's
good. Looks good.
I like that. Do we want to match that on the other side, or do we want to mix it up a bit and have something different?
What if we have, like, an explosive barrel, like, here?
That seems good. They'll probably trigger that on their way through.
Yeah.
Although, is it a little too obvious to stick a barrel in a random hallway between rooms?
This is our storage hallway.
We're kobolds, not geniuses.
Yeah.
I like the sort of tucking it behind here so that when they just walk into the room, if they're not paying attention, it'll just get them.
Do barrels self-detonate?
They do.
Okay, I have not read the traps as close as you because that's not my job in this adventure. That just seems like an interesting...
The the barrels, it says waiting to be triggered if someone so much as looks at it wrong.
Wow.
So I think they are just...
Well, they have to pass through its space, according to this, in initial discovery, at least.
So we put it, like, here?
Who's going to pass through the barrel's space is my question.
Yeah, I think the barrel is more something you trigger during combat, well, right?
What
is my reading of that. Is that that's probably going to be more useful to you, is that they happen to be standing near a barrel.
So barrels are four, right? So two barrels would cost us eight, and we could block a passageway with two barrels.
Mm.
True.
It's true.
Why don't we put two barrels in this right entranceway?
Okay, sure.
Sure.
Although I do enjoy the idea of having a barrel that we can blow up during combat, Doom style.
Yeah. I mean, we might have money left over. We could have a barrel right next to, like, wherever they think the main treasure is.
And that, yeah. Fast forward to it, they spent all their money on barrels.
Well, so far, if we have two barrels, we have now spent 20.
See, and that makes more sense, too, because I could see them walking through and going, these idiot kobolds thought they could block this whole passageway with these two barrels.
Yeah.
And they'd walk on by without thinking about it, and then they blow up. All right, I'm down.
Plus, it traps them in there so they can't escape that way. Jerks.
I don't think that blocks. Does it block?
It
is blocking terrain.
It is blocking terrain, so I think it makes it difficult, not
impossible.
Impossible.
It says also the trap cannot be disarmed.
Yeah, that's good.
Wait, it says that?
Yep. It says. Yep. You see, we are rules lawyers, and we have read this thing.
As soon as we're in charge of the rules, we are.
I thought you guys were going to be less prepared. But also more prepared.
Well, I think that's our payment for not being able to reset that trap.
So I think, like, if they want to get past it, the only way that they could do that is to send the owl in.
This is like that the rogue can disarm it.
Only if the rogue is the first to encounter.
Yeah.
Do we want to switch barrel plan over to the left-hand side and switch dart trap to the right-hand side?
Maybe.
No, because Tony's going to be a jerk and he's going to switch the rogue onto whatever side.
I am your friend, you filthy, disgusting, scaly monster.
I noticed that all the heroes have moved to the middle section to be distributed.
I may randomly assign them using dice. I would not use information against you.
What if we had some regular barrels and some explosive barrels and Tony doesn't know which is which?
That seems only fair.
How much of your points are you going to send on regular barrels?
Well, I can see one in the map right up at the top. So,
all right, let's keep it moving. Let me ask you this: are you going to buy one of every trap, and then is it just for variety, and then it's deciding where they go?
We may end up without enough to buy a boulder because it has limited utility if it can only block.
I think
one.
If you buy one of each trap, you get a free boulder. That's the deal from this.
That's what I know.
Wait, did we buy these from Snick and Snack? Is that
what does it look like to buy a concealed pit from Snick and Snack? It's just it's rolled out and then it says dig
here. And then
here.
You unfold it and you throw it like a frisbee and it blossoms.
I think they just wander around your lair until they find a pre-existing hole and then they say, here's your pit.
And they charge you for it.
Okay, what else have we got?
So we just mentioned concealed pit. You have not deployed a concealed pit.
The thing with the pit is that they can just get out of it. So it doesn't seem...
It's not as exciting.
But it's a classic. You gotta appreciate the classics.
What if we put it somewhere here?
Or like around the blades? Like,
oh yeah, they're running out of the blades and then they...
Yeah, okay, I like that.
I like that.
Have we kept track of how much we've spent so far?
Yes, we spent 20, and if we take the trap, we're up to 25.
And it's a 10 by 10 area, so like right here?
Put it right on the other side of the door.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a pit.
That's not a pit. That's a pit.
All right, what else? What else do we want from the catalog?
We have 15 left.
I think we need a minion or two, so we should save some leftover for somebody to have a companion and or a minion.
Yeah. I think
because we're going to need some cannon fodder.
Oh, I've just noticed if you scroll past the map, we have poison barrels, which are a different kind of barrel, and they're only three.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And they seem to work pretty much the same.
You would fill an entire barrel with poison? That seems dangerous.
Well, where else are you going to keep your poison?
What if we put them like over here? Like over here. So it's like the right side is the barrel side.
I think we should mix it up and have the barrels on the other side, because if the people have come in and they've just dealt with our barrels, they're going to be suspicious of the next barrels. Whereas the other side, they don't have that barrel fear.
It hasn't, yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point.
So I would say we block. Where do we want to do it? Like,
we haven't done anything like over here.
Yeah, I was told that that's not where we should put the barrels, so...
Or here.
Can I make a pitch to move the pit to somewhere in one of those hallways? Because what I'm thinking is if we get to a point where the heroes are retreating from us and they're already aware of the pit, having already discovered it or fallen into it, and we've reset it, there's still a chance we can push them over the pit again in that case. But if they already know this pit is down here... They're just going to choose not to walk that way. They're going to run down one of the other halls. I'm just thinking it's better in a more of a choke point.
Okay.
Sure. Which choke point are you thinking?
Well, either of these two halls seem good to me.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it here. That's a good place for it.
We have nothing in that area yet.
I mean, we've already got the blades in the central hallway. Although I like the idea of like them running from the blades into the pit, but at the same time, I think we may get more use out of it. I think we may actually get to use it twice as opposed to, well, once it's shot, it's shot.
Okay. But do we want to double barrel some poison somewhere?
Double barreled. Yeah, I think so. I love barrels.
This was poison here?
A big barrel
thing. I think we're going to do two up in that top corner.
Sure.
What if we do like one over here? Like further...
Well, it blocks the path.
Oh, that's right, because they have to like touch it.
And then when they touch it, poison.
So we could re-poison them if they have to run over it.
The barrels cannot be reset, so these are a one-off.
Is the poison barrel explosive, or is it just like touching this barrel is poison? Is the barrel made of poison?
It says the nondescript barrel contains a poisonous mixture waiting to be triggered if someone so much as looks at it wrong, much like the other
one. Got it.
But it doesn't say, like, does the poison spray outside or is it just a contact poison?
It's whatever we decide that it is.
I think you're right.
That's how it works. Yep. It says detonate.
The action says detonate.
Okay, so...
within 15 feet of it. So that's like spray.
I interpret it as the contents of the barrel are poison and an adventurer has to eat them. The dragonborn fighter just says that barrel looks delicious.
It was a barrel of spam that was here when we moved in.
Sounds delicious.
I just had a thought. Are dragonborn poison resistant?
They are not usually, you're thinking of dwarves.
Yes, I always get those two confused.
They're so similar.
They start with D. Sometimes the dragonborn, depending on what their lineage is, can have things.
Like an acid. I was going to say acid, yeah. Or flame.
I will tell you, you don't actually know this, but just for Dogran is a noble bronze dragonborn, so he is probably resistant to lightning.
Okay.
Well,
we don't have any lightning barrels, so we're good.
Just imagine if you were not already imagining Dogran as a kind of a coppery bronze dragonborn crackling with electricity and just super charismatic. It's important that I really underline how attractive this dragonborn is. Please update your mental images.
If he's crackling with electricity, can we fill something full of gas? And just have him ignite it.
You live here! You can't have a plastic bag full of gasoline hanging in your foyer.
That's not our secret,
you never know
Tunnels.
When you're going to need
it. You don't
it.
Own us, Tony.
You know, I've looked up a lot of Florida Man stuff. You can actually have.
Steve, I think most of the stories end in a headline, if I recall.
So, yeah, the good ones do. So yep. Did we buy two barrels? Is that what these little, or did we buy two, databases and put them in the hallway?
we're gonna mine some crypto.
I bet some of these adventurers have NFTs.
They are NFTs. So that means we have 9 points left, which means we could have 3 companions. The companions have more hit points than the minions.
Yeah, companions have a few more. Minions are minions.
And rats have more hit points than beetles.
Beetles are cool.
They are cool.
I mean, it's a fire beetle. I mean, it's not a fire rat.
It is not.
Any rat can become a fire rat.
If you try hard enough.
Yeah, we've got an odd number, so we can either get 3 animal companions or a animal companion and 3 minions.
Some piles of trash to really round out the group.
The minions only have 1 hit point, so they would only be 1.
Yeah, so you need numbers for those to be useful, which is fine. I mean, you can leave one behind as you run down the hallway. Say, take care of these adventurers.
I would say get 3 of the companions. They seem a bit... like, they are companions. They're friends. Yeah. Not just minions. Unless we want to go on the giant boulder.
Ooh, the fire beetle, they have 4 hit points, too.
And the rats have 7.
Rats have 7. I think we should get rats.
The fire beetle is so underpowered compared to this. It almost seems like a mistake.
And the fire beetle has armor class of 13, though.
Well, okay, but so I mean, it only does 1 slashing damage when it gets a hit, as opposed to 4 piercing damage for the giant rat.
Yeah, and we don't need the illumination from the fire beetle. That's only
that seems like it would hurt us more than help us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do we want to have a rat room somewhere?
Every good kobold lair has one.
Why would we not? Yeah.
Oh, right. Have you seen my keys? Did you leave them in the rat room?
Right.
They have the ability to, you know, they are helpful and supportive of our community and are contributing to the space. So I feel like they should have free rein to be, you know, maneuver wherever they choose to be.
Do we control them?
Yeah.
One person controls all of them.
Each companion must be controlled by a single player. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was mixing up minions and companions.
I mean, I've got a squirrel, so you can all have rats.
I am your minion, so if everyone else wants to have a companion, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I put 3 rats on the map for you all. So allow me to ask a question, because I think you've been studying it closer than I am. The rats are with you as opposed to something that you leave in lying in wait for the adventures, right?
Right.
These are companion rats.
It says at the start of the adventure, the companions start alongside the players at the lair entrance.
Got it. So you have been out on a grand adventure with these rats. They come back.
We have taken our rats out for a walk.
Okay. It looks like Steve claimed a rat. Would other people like to claim one of those 2 remaining rats?
Yeah, I will.
Go for it, Kathy.
Yeah, I grabbed one.
Okay.
Oh, I need a name for my rat.
Please name your rat.
Ratty.
The thing I like most about Dungeons & Dragons is how it taps into just the imagination that's deep within all of us. I'm sorry, was I supposed to be renaming a rat token for somebody?
Yes. Wait, oh, I figured out I can. Never mind.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, what else do you need to do?
We spent all our... thing we've got we need to decide what we're buying in terms of pots.
Yeah, have people spent their money on ammunition?
I bought 100 gold pieces worth of pot.
I also bought 100 gold pieces worth of pot.
I see no way that will be ever used outside of context.
So I've only got 50 left, so I'm gonna get
you can get plenty of pots for that.
Well, I think I'll have a fire pot, an acid pot, and a glue pot. I shall write that down.
I took an acid pot, a fire pot, 2 glue pots, and 5 stink pots.
Mm. All right.
By the way, if we can find a gem that is worth more than 100 gold pieces, I can make another squirrel.
Okay.
I'm sure we've hidden gems in our home lair that we don't know about.
Just saying, if any of these adventurers have a gem on them, it's squirrel time. Technically, that would be a homunculus squirrel rather than a steel defender squirrel, but... Mm.
I think I'm going to do like 2 fire pots and the rest stink pots.
I think my math is right. If I do 1 fire, 2 glue, 1 stink.
Whatever I say bounces off me and sticks to you.
If only I had an app that could... Like calculate things.
It would never happen.
I took a lot of glue just because I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of running away and being able to immobilize somebody.
I'm familiar with your childhood, like Steve. Yes.
That's right.
Glue seems fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pot. Man. It's so fun.
For those listening, stink pots give disadvantage... Let's see. Every creature within a 10-foot radius must do a DC constitution save. And if they fail, they are coated in a noxious liquid that lasts for 1 minute. And they have disadvantage on attack rolls. And then they can save against it. Glue pots, if they fail their save... They are restrained, which is very convenient. A fire pot. I'm trying to skim as I'm talking. It's not effective. A fire pot, of course, does fire damage. Yeah. Acid pots. Acid damage. A flash pot blinds affected creatures. And a smoke pot... creates a heavily obscured area. I actually might do a fire pot, a smoke pot. Wow, this is like... I do live in Seattle, so like this is legal, people.
It's legal in Canada.
So yeah. The thing about the fire pot and the acid pots is neither one of them takes effect immediately. It happens at the end of their turn. Yeah. And they can... So effectively, they're either taking damage or they're using their action. So they've lost basically an attack.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they get hurt.
I think I might do 2 smoke pots and the rest stink pots.
And the thing that the issue I had with the stink pots was that it's a constitution saving throw, and adventurers tend to have decent constitution.
Yeah, it is a DC 15 though,
who knows fairly how strong high. These adventurers yeah. are.
Who knows how strong these adventurers are?
And then the glue pots, they can choose to use dexterity or strength for the initial saving throw, but then on the subsequent turn, they can only use strength. So they're probably going to be more useful against the rogue and the ranger.
I'm thinking I'm going to take one
making
of my
them
fire...
stay in place for...
I'm going to take my fire pot back to the shop and it's going to swap it for 3 glue because I think that might be more useful.
All right, I am not overthinking it, and I'm sticking with my one of everything but 2 glue.
Yeah. I should say it's very helpful if you're throwing it at like a fighter to prevent them from making an attack the next turn, because it is a dex saving throw. So if you've got like a big tank that you're trying to take down, he's likely not to have a ton of dexterity. So you're basically losing his opportunity to take one or more attacks if he's got multi-attack on the next turn, which is pretty nice.
Okay, well, I have smoke pots and stink pots. That's where I've landed.
All right.
Is there any other preparations that you need to do?
So they're going to come in. They're going
to get a good night's sleep.
I know. Or a fresh, refreshing walk outside with our rats.
I will tell you, this adventure will include no short or long rests in it once we get going.
I had a feeling that was the case.
Yeah.
Which is not great for my warlock, but that's okay.
All right. Well, adventurers, I think you have prepped your den. You have outfitted your characters. You have bought some rats. Truly the stuff epic stories are made of. How will the heroes of our story do against the various home defenses that you have left in their wake? For answers to questions such as that, tune in next time to Total Party. Party Kill.